Yeah, flip-flop, flip-flop.
They're just being lazy. That's why there's a pushback.
I think it's pure half-assery on the part of Doug Ford.
I didn't use that term exactly,
yes,
but...
She didn't say half-assery.
Time to feel the rush of the round table.
Ryan Doyle, Jay Michaels, you are 14 minutes away from Dave McKee and his views on the news, but don't worry, we've got great entertainment for you, unlike a cruise ship, for the next 14 minutes. Christy, what? What are you laughing
at? You set a high bar.
I do set a high bar. I try. That's
why I'm like a cruise ship.
That's why I'm so great
at
limo.
Ryan's problem with cruise ships. The bars are so high.
Bill Carroll is here, our friend from CFRA in Ottawa. Hello.
What's a half-assery? What is that?
Half-assery?
Is that where you buy an ass hat?
Not sure how it works. Let's try to keep this on the rails. Amanda Galbraith is here, principal navigator. Hello.
Hello.
And Savan Pavetsian, CEO of Civic Action. Hello.
Hi, guys. Good to have you guys back.
It's nice to be back.
Thank you so much.
Thank you all for filling in for us while we were off on our adventures.
We're being told today that as the university year gets underway, the consequences of the cuts to Ontario student grant and loan programs are becoming abundantly clear, particularly those for those students with low-income families as their background. A number of University of Ottawa students say they've had to alter their course loads because of that $600 million cut to the Ontario Student Assistance Program funding. Now, the number we're hearing from the case study here with this student named Casey is that being $2,000 short, Bill, was the breaking point for not being able to go to school. One of the questions we're asking today is, if $2,000 is the only thing holding you back, maybe you don't want it bad enough or aren't willing to work for it.
Yeah, this is the guy who's getting a poli-sci degree,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah, go to plumbing school. Stop whining already. You know what? You're just going to be further in debt later. Why not take a year off and earn the extra money? You know where I stand on this. We've talked about it before. I wish we could afford everyone to get a complete post-secondary education on the taxpayers. I think it's a fundamental basic need these days. But we don't have money for everybody. So, you know, we're making some cuts. We're trying to get the budget back under control. I don't want to hear any whining. Go to college. Get a degree in something else. There are lots of things you can do. Get a job. Work more part-time. Where were you this summer? You're just figuring it out now. You don't have a subscription to a website where you could have figured this out 3 months ago. And I was, oh, school just started. I realized I'm broke. Unbelievable.
Savan, all valid points. I'm guessing you're going to be a little softer on this one. I'm just going out on a limb.
Well, yes. Said limb is stable. The idea that you would learn a week before school that money that you thought was coming isn't coming, that's not cool. There's a process issue there. And I can understand people have made plans, you've budgeted, and then this big change that happens. But, you know, frankly, this is the new world where governments are funding things less. Back in the 70s, 3/4 of tuition was paid by the government. And then the 90s, the feds pulled back, and then the provinces are having to do that too. So the new world of unaffordability is climbing, right? Cost of housing, others are rising. And government isn't able to fund or is making decisions not to fund tuition the way they used to. Who's stuck in the middle? Lower income people. And so clearly these are a couple of examples where they're not going to be able to pursue what they thought they were a few months ago.
So it's like all these festivals and stuff, though, right? That we were counting on $10,000 for our festival. When you apply, it says the money is not guaranteed. When you apply for a student loan, it's not guaranteed. You see who the government is. You see what they've been doing. And then you act surprised on the first week of school. I mean, and you're a political science guy? Figure it out, buddy.
Amanda, I think Bill's kids are in for a series of tough conversations.
Listen, no shock. I sort of land, I think, a little bit between Sev and Bill on this one. Mm. And that I agree. I think the timing is where I take issue with, is that it would suck to find out a week beforehand. Ideally, you would have a little bit of extra saved over the summer or whatever, so you can manage stuff like this, because that's what real life is like. I get surprise bills related to my home all
monthly,
the time.
Monthly,
I'm like, woohoo, there's a leak. I have to pay for this. Where do I go? My savings. But I also agree that, you know, we can't be, it would be lovely if we could fund everybody's post-secondary dreams like France does, but look at that economy and country. We can't. And the program itself was unsustainable. It was not going to pay for itself. And it benefits no one if OSAP doesn't exist in 10 years. So it should be back on the, you know, the rails correctly.
Let's talk about
arc welding, baby.
Arc welding. It's very popular, especially if you've got a leak. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the federal election. Andrew Scheer is being called out for comments he made 2 years ago. It sounds like a policy he still believes in, a $4,000 credit or tax credit for individual school tuition outside of the public system, $1,000 per child for children who are homeschooled. I'm not going to play the clip for you because it's hard to hear, really. He was interviewed in some sort of high school cafeteria, so it doesn't really make a lot of sense. But the Liberals are capitalizing on it, saying great public schools are the bedrock of Canada's economy. The Conservatives don't get that. That's why they'd weaken public education with a reckless plan to fund private schools and homeschooling, as the video I just mentioned makes clear. That according to Liberal MP Navdeep Bains. Savan, we'll start with you. Is this something that would undermine the public system?
It would fundamentally change it. Yeah. I mean, I used to live in the States, in Washington, D.C., and that was a city where you would see in other parts of the States as well, where you could take money and you would be given either a voucher, or you would move the money, and you could choose as a parent, right? I'm going to send my kid to private school because this is a better experience. You could see the impact of how some of the public schools were gutted, and the quality disparity between the haves and the have-nots really did worsen when that degree of choice was introduced in some of those cities. So yeah, public education, public health care, there's a minimum standard that we've gotten used to in Canada. And when we start to play with that equation, it does open the opportunity for those minimum standards to drop.
Amanda?
This is another, I think this is actually very interesting in that the Liberals are sure going really hard, really early in this pre-writ period against Andrew Scheer. Like, they actually must be quite freaked out about their polling numbers if they've already rolled out gay rights issues, abortion specters, and now all of a sudden we're going after the, you know, the sacred cow that is the Canadian education system. Listen, I'm always interested in a thoughtful conversation about how we can better capitalize our education for kids and have more accessibility. I think the public aspect of it is important. I find it troubling that rather than talk about issues that people really care about, the Liberals are doing this, but this is what happens on campaigns. And I think we should buckle up, and there's going to be a lot more of, you know, secret videos and this kind of thing popping up in the next little while.
Bill, we heard from a lot of people who said, listen, I pay my tax dollars into this public system or the so-called public system, but my kids are homeschooled. I send my kids to private school. Those parents seem to have an issue with the idea of having to do both.
Yeah, but you have to remember that we educate the next generation who get good jobs, make a living, get the economy moving, and they buy our houses when we want to retire. So, you know, it's not a totally selfless act to pay education tax. I mean, that's just part of the deal. We want an educated population, of course. And if you run a business, you want an educated workforce. I think there's a balancing act here, though, because if you think about it, let's say the number remained $4,000 tax credit for individual school tuition. So you're still probably paying more into the public system than you're getting back out. And the $4,000 doesn't pay for all of your individual school tuition. So you actually are paying, you may be opening up positions in the public school that make it more affordable for people who don't have money, who can't have a private school education. So you get more people out of that system as long as you're still paying some of that money in. I know I pay way more taxes than $4,000 every year. So, you know, if I got some of that back to educate my kids the way I want to do it and I still contribute to the public school system, maybe that's not a bad balance. Is $4,000 the right number? I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I think it's worth looking at.
It would sure change the dynamic of the class size debate as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
It sure would.
Yep.
Mayor John Tory hard at work today for back to school, announcing several updates to his Vision Zero Road Safety Initiative aimed at supporting the safety, education, and well-being of all students, talking about cameras coming into school zones to try and catch people that are speeding. Also making the narrative today is the debate resurfacing around pedestrian cell phones and banning them. Jennifer Keysmat in a series of tweets saying the following: our council, including the mayor, has formally asked the province to look into a ban on pedestrians using cell phones, perpetuating the brutal myth that pedestrians are to blame when they're hit by a reckless driver. You can't fix a problem you don't understand. We talked about this pretty extensively on The Rush earlier today, and one of the takeaways for me, at least, Bill, was that I think this is a problem that we all have. I think we're sort of all to blame, be you a cyclist, be you a driver, be you a pedestrian. You can't just blame one group.
Well, you know how I always go for the middle ground in any topic we're talking about.
It's a calling card, really.
So maybe I'll surprise you here a little bit. No, I'm reading some of these tweets and some of the comments from people, and I do think there's a middle ground here. If the average age of the pedestrian being hit in Toronto is 68, they probably aren't texting while they cross the street. So that's a pretty stupid thing to say. Yes, we have to be responsible as pedestrians, but there's a very key difference here. If I'm texting while driving, I can not only kill myself, I can kill others. If I'm texting while walking, I'm only putting myself at risk generally. I mean, yes, the driver could swerve and hit somebody else, but there's just a different risk factor involved here. But yeah, we're all responsible for each other's safety and in public, and we're all spending too much time on the damn phones and tablets. All of that's true. But I really think that road design is where you have to spend a lot of your time and effort. You could do all the press conferences you want and all the education you want, and people are still going to behave. They want to behave. You have to design a system that takes into account that people are going to have their faults and they're going to do what they're going to do.
Yeah, you say all of that, but you know, you didn't have the background or, I guess, the luxury of hearing the clip of when this was originally brought up. You know, our very tech-savvy city council, Bill, had this conversation and had it to a vote. Francis Nunziata, listen to this.
I don't know, maybe this, the city solicitor drafted this up. I guess it would mean everything, but...
But texting,
emailing, I don't know, playing solitary. Councilor Perks is playing solitary here.
He was playing it in MS-DOS Word, by the way.
I mean,
I see Frances Nunziata's still value. Full value for her.
I love her.
Savannah, if I can stop you from laughing for a second.
The Commodore 64
Yeah,
computer.
I mean, that's how on top of things the
that's
city council
awesome.
Is.
Wow. So Honolulu did this. They banned zombie walking. They tried to do this because they thought this is going to decrease pedestrian. You know what? It doubled. It didn't have the impact of saying we're going to ban this and it's going to make people safer. And New York City just last week came out with a report that said there's no correlation between putting a ban on cell phone use walking in crosswalks and seeing people's lives saved. So this is about street design. This is about cars needing to slow down. And there are so many more people that live in this city. Even just walking here from my office to the studio, you cross over University, there's 8 lanes of traffic. You can barely make it across the street before the hand stops flashing, right? So I think you're right in that this is many different areas need to contribute to this. And we're living in big cities where more of these issues are sadly happening.
Amanda?
Welcome to the middle ground.
We join you all here, Bill. Yeah, I totally agree. I think, listen, I actually love the cameras in school zones. I think that's fantastic. And that's something the mayor's been fighting to do for a while and needed permission from the province to put forward. I like the fact that we now have cops at some of the major intersections in the city, which is also both like putting stuff through and stopping pedestrians from running across. But that light, I was actually trying to cross the University and I was like, holy, I had to run at the end. Yeah. So imagine if you're 65, totally. Right? And that's the issue we're facing is that the streets are not designed for the community that lives here now. So we need to have a real conversation about that. It's obviously going to take a lot of time. So I think these steps are important. But no, banning me from using my cell phone, one, it won't work because I'll probably ignore it. And two, I think, you know, we all have a role to play, but the onus to me, even when I am driving, not on the pedestrian. Like, I mean, don't run out in the middle of the street, but bottom line is you're driving a 2-ton car or
totally.
Whatever it is.
For the record, I've never seen Amanda texting publicly. She's too busy talking on the phone.
Playing solitary.
She's doing her solitary. Very quickly, there was an online debate raging about how early or late you get to the airport. Apparently, a lot of people like to push it right to the limit. Bill, what's your preference?
I'm a last-minute guy. Unless the airport has great shopping and stuff, great restaurants, then I don't mind getting early. But come on, 3 hours before an international flight? Are you crazy? I end up sitting around for 2 freaking hours. Add 2 hours to my flight. No. Last minute. I'm that guy. Excuse me. I have to go through customs really fast. They're going to miss my flight.
Yeah, I hate you for that. Hate you for that.
But you stood there for 2 hours like an idiot, and I walk right past you. Hello. Goodbye.
Sadly, I'm with Bill on this. Yeah.
I thought you'd be early.
No, I know. I'm awful. Oh. I am that person that is totally about to miss the plane almost every time. There's no excuse for it. I'm embarrassed.
What's so nice about getting through the lineup, I bet. Please, I'm so sorry.
I'm also a late arriver. I'm sure that will shock no one. But Mark is an early arriver, my boyfriend, and it causes considerable strife when we travel because he's all packed, ready to go, and we've agreed on a time, and I'm generally pushing the boundaries.
He's
going to
start setting that time at a different time.
He
Guaranteed.
Does.
Yeah.
He calls it
Smart
AST,
strategy.
Amanda Standard Time. So he gives me fake times.
Bill, Amanda, Savant, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So I got to miss my flight.
What is it? In 20 minutes.